All right, turn to Exodus chapter 7. Exodus 7. We are going to continue in our series about Moses. We've called this Life of Destiny. We're just kind of following his life ministry, looking at different aspects of what causes a man to be used and some of the lessons that you're going to need if you want to be used by God. So today we're now to the point where Moses learns a very profound lesson. This is actually, off the top of my head, I think this is only the second major event that happens. And that is that to minister effectively involves supernatural contests. And so if you want to minister, you have to learn how. You're going to find that the enemy will contest whatever you try to do, and you have to learn how to overcome that. Let's get some scriptures. David, you get Exodus 7, 8 through 13. Anthony, Exodus 7, 9. Nathan, Exodus 7, 12. Robert, Luke 9, 1. Brian, Exodus 9:12, the second time. Brian Mitchell, Zechariah 3:1. Johnny, 2 Timothy 3:8. Will, Numbers 23:20. Dave Fink, Acts 16:18. And Isaac, Isaiah 54:17. Okay, let's look at the story here. We're going to learn this about a supernatural contest. Exodus 7, 8 through 13.
And the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, "When Pharaoh speaks to you, saying, 'Show a miracle for yourselves,' then you shall say to Aaron, 'Take your rod and cast it before Pharaoh, and let it become a serpent.' So Moses and Aaron went into Pharaoh, and they did so, just as the Lord commanded. And Aaron cast down his rod before Pharaoh and before his servants, and it became a serpent. But Pharaoh also called the wise men and the sorcerers, so the magicians of Egypt, they did in like manner with their enchantments. For every man threw down his rod, and they became serpents. But Aaron's rod swallowed up their rods. And Pharaoh's heart grew hard, and he did not heed them, as the Lord had said."
Okay, supernatural contest. Let's begin. Let's talk about a supernatural foundation. It is, it's possible to view ministry incorrectly. And that is that some people, they view it only on a natural level. This is how they approach it: cause and effect, human effort. Ministry is what I plan, what I arrange, things I say, things I do. That's what ministry is all about. And so if you approach it in that way, that viewpoint fails to consider the supernatural dimensions of life. And the Bible is very clear that there is a spiritual world. The spiritual is what affects the natural or the physical world. We have just one example. Job. Here is a man, and the Bible records that he had physical problems. He had problems in his health. That's physical. His finances, that's the physical or natural world. There were disasters of weather and problems in his house. But God allows us to see that behind that was Satan. So it was supernatural in origin. This doesn't mean that every little thing that happens in life is a demon, but there really is a spiritual world. So if you were just to look at Job's life, you'd say, "Dude, you are unlucky, man. I mean, come on. How many bad things can happen to one person?" And there are people, that's the way they look at it. It's just a bad run of luck or in different ways. So if you approach ministry trying to do a work for God and you're only taking in the physical world, you are going to be very frustrated. You're going to come to conclusions. You're going to say there is something wrong with this city. That's often, through the years, I see people, they say, "Well, this city sucks. That's the problem. The city is bad. That's why the work of God, because why? I'm outreaching, I'm advertising, I'm working, I'm saying, I'm preaching. It's not, the city is bad. Or you're going to say, these people, that's other guys, they come to the conclusion and they say, the problem is, the reason why that guy's doing well, he got the good people. Come on, look at my people. I got the bad people. It's their fault. That's why nothing good is happening. Or there are guys that they come to the conclusion, it's me. I just apparently, it's not working. So I apparently am faulty, defective, insufficient. So therefore, I just can't do this. Or there are people that they become embittered at God. And that's very common. There are people that they minister, sing songs of praise to God that they're actually angry at because they say, you're not helping me. And many times that is because they're approaching life. Life is only physical. All right, here's Moses' ministry. He begins. We looked at when he first gives the message to Pharaoh, things get worse. Pharaoh is a type of the devil. Life gets worse. Life gets harder. So now, this is another dimension. Remember what Pharaoh, we're going to be looking through as we look at the different plagues and different things. He is a type of the devil. Pharaoh says no. Moses is declaring God's will. God wants my people to go. Pharaoh, absolutely not. He is resisting. And so, in the story here, Moses learns it's a visible lesson, but it's very powerful to us, and that is, ministry is supernatural. Okay, in this story, a stick becomes a snake. Verse 9.
Pharaoh will demand, show me a miracle. When he does this, say to Aaron, take your staff, throw it down in front of Pharaoh, and it will become a serpent.
Okay, take your staff. There's a shepherd's stick. Throw it down and on the floor in front of him, and it will become a snake. That's not normal. Anybody agree with me? I have never in history ever thrown down a stick and it became a snake. That's not normal. It's supernatural because God is trying to tell you something. This is what you need. There is something that you're going to have at work in you is a supernatural dimension. The deliverance of God's people, that's God's will. Getting people saved, building a work for God, that is God's will. That involved supernatural miracles. Verse 12.
Each one threw down a staff and it became a snake, but Aaron's staff swallowed up their staffs.
Okay, so this was supernatural. How did they overcome Pharaoh? Because something supernatural had to happen. And you learn that. The 10 plagues, if you read about that, frogs, lice, darkness, blood, you know, all the different things. Every single one of those were gods of Egypt that they worshipped. And so God is saying something. You have to overcome gods. You have to, literally they were demons. You have to overcome demon powers in order to do a work for God. So therefore, all of ministry has to involve a supernatural dimension. And you'll find that in different ones. I don't think I gave these out. Luke 9:1. Did I give that out? I did?
Yeah, I got it.
Go ahead.
When Jesus had called the 12 together, he gave them power and authority to drive out all demons and to cure diseases.
Okay, this is, remember, I've said there are five different sending passages in the Gospels. In every single one of them, demon powers, spirit, authority. Matthew 10:1, I give you authority, power to drive out evil spirits. Mark 16:17, you'll cast out demons. So God is saying, number one, you have to have a supernatural foundation. And anytime I see guys that they don't, whether they're not comfortable, whether they're too smart for their own good, they're, you know, just got a totally Western mentality. How does that work? What about germs and DNA? And those are guys, they just struggle because it's a supernatural natural world that we live in. Second thought here, supernatural showdowns. So remember in the calling of Moses, when we talked about Moses said, I don't know, I can't talk, I don't think I'm enough. And so God said, he gave him two supernatural signs. Remember that? Put your hand in your coat. Let's keep it simple. Yeah, take it out. It's leprosy. Put it in there. This wasn't a party trick. And then you're out in the middle of the desert. God says, okay, take your stick, throw it down, and it becomes a snake. Now, like Moses, I wonder if Moses, all the way walking to Egypt, like, what's up with the snake thing? Like, why do I don't even like snakes. Why do I need that? Now he learns why. Okay, this is powerful. A major lesson from the book of Exodus and Moses' life in ministry is the enemy resists our attempts to bring deliverance. That is one of the most simple and powerful lessons of ministry you need. Verse 12, I think, is the second time.
For each man cast down his staff, and they became serpents, but Aaron's staff swallowed their staffs.
So Moses here, knowing what's going to happen when he throws down the stick, I think in his mind, they're all going to go, oh my God, you're right, you can all go. He throws down, like, aha, look at that. And his staff becomes a snake. Moses goes, boys, they throw down there, and all of theirs become snakes. So this is like playing poker with the devil. It's like, I see your snake, and I raise you.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I'm calling you and raising this. And so God's will is to set people free, but Pharaoh fights. And you need to learn that. The devil goes by many different names in the Bible. One of those is adversary. Adversary is one who opposes. Zechariah 3:1.
Then he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to oppose him.
Okay, there's a number of interesting passages. Now, it just occurred to me, maybe this would be a good Sunday school series sometimes. There are a number, off the top of my head, four or five times in the Bible allows us to see into the heavenlies, right? And so with Job, that's one. Here's another one. Zechariah is allowed to see into the supernatural realm, is the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord, which is a visible picture of God, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist. Okay, that is what the adversary does. He opposes. He stands against. And so you learn this. The enemy fights. He resists our labors for God. Judges chapter 6 is a fascinating story that God's people, every year, they're working the land. They're planting crops. And for 6 years straight, every year when it's harvest time, they're watching it ripen, it's almost ready, and that's when the enemy would come. The Midianites would come 6 years in a row to steal their fruit. And I've seen that again and again and again. I've seen dry weather for weeks, and the moment I did an outreach, the heavens opened. I told you that when I took over church, they hadn't had anybody saved in I don't know, a year. It just was horrible resistance. We finally got some people saved, did a miracle crusade. This whole family got saved. Two of them got healed. It was powerful. My guy said, you want to come to church tomorrow? Yes. They didn't have a car. It's cold and rainy in Melbourne. I'll pick you up at 10 o'clock and bring you to church. Absolutely. This is great. 10 o'clock, he's there. They're not. Where did they go? These people were saved, touched, healed, impacted. Goes Monday, what happened? They said, you wouldn't believe it, at 9:55, a knock on the door, and there was a bus from the Assembly of God saying, do you want to go to church? And there's a bus, so we went on the bus. We love it. We're going to go there. It's like, the Midianites came. in the guise of the Assembly of God. they took our labors, and so I have seen that again and again. Someone who's been unemployed for years, they get saved, they get offered a job in Alaska. I've seen ugly dudes, supermodels, want to date them after, like, dude, that's got to be a demon. Your looks didn't really improve. Come on. Your labors are stolen. I had a guy that's a pastor call me one time and literally, can this be the devil? Every time we get a convert saved from different churches, someone from another church takes them away. That's right. The devil fights our labors. And then, of course, the enemy brings resistance in the church. 2 Timothy 3:8.
Janus and Jambres resisted Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds disprove concerning their faith.
Okay, this is now, catch this scripture. This is the New Testament. Janus and Jambres were two of the main magicians in the story that we read. All right. Paul is writing to Timothy. He's talking now about his church. I can understand if we go down to the local witches' coven, I can understand there being demonic resistance. If I go to the convention of witch doctors, I'm betting there's going to be, you know, Satanists. If I go to the local Satanist hall, I'm sure that they would resist us. Yes. But Paul says, he's writing Timothy, he's teaching about the church. He's writing about people in the church, and he says, just like... And he pulls this Old Testament story. That's why we're looking at Moses. It affects your life. Janus and Jambres were these two main magicians, the ones who were involved in throwing down their staff and it becoming snakes. And look at this. He says there are people in the church that resist. Very interesting. This is why you need to study the Bible in the original language. The word resist is... We get our word antihistamine from it. Okay, an antihistamine is something that fights histamine, that works in your body. Any of you that have allergies, maybe you understand that a little bit more. So there is something working against, and he says that is in the church, whether that is affecting the altar calls, the preaching, the fruitfulness, finances. There can be so many different ways. So the lesson is the enemy resist, the enemy fights. Final thought, defeating serpents. So Moses has to defeat the serpents of the enemy. So in order to defeat this serpent, one of the things is you have to recognize it. You have to recognize signs of resistance. And so two problems is the enemy works in darkness. Right, I have never gotten an email from the devil saying, look, Tuesday, 7 p.m., I'm going to start attacking your life. Thank you for the warning. That's never happened. The enemy is always associated with darkness. So in other words, he tries to hide his resistance. So I see, guys, there are several problems. Number one is you have guys, they just don't have a supernatural file. There are things that are happening. They are looking at life only through natural eyes. It just doesn't, in my experience, white Westerners are not comfortable talking about demons. So if bad things are happening, that can't be a demon. That can't be supernatural. There must be a natural explanation. Then that guy continues to be tormented. Or the other thing is the enemy does it incrementally. Slowly, so they don't see it. So part of freedom, you have to recognize the resistance. When I went to South Africa, I was telling the guys the other morning that I've always been a great sleeper. I've been able to sleep anywhere, had no problem. Hey man, I grew up in rock and roll concerts in church, and you know, when anything going on, I was able to sleep. Moved to South Africa, my wife and I started waking up every single night, 3 o'clock, on the dot. Not 2:55, 3:07 is definitely out of it, 3 o'clock. And so, and I didn't get it. It's like, man, you know, new country, why are we waking up at this time? Later on, the witch doctor told me they were trying to curse us at that time. They were exercising witchcraft. So that's true. Interrupted sleep for some people is a sign. And I'm not talking about because you got the flu or jet lag. I'm talking about something that is unnatural. Calamities. There are just problems that broke. We're in South Africa. One of the missionaries who were there, I don't want to exaggerate. If I remember right, in 1 2-week span, they had 2 car accidents and 12 electronic devices blew up or stopped working. And I'm not talking through a power surge, just at different times. So I was like, oh man, he's talking about like he's unlucky. Like, man, bad thing. Like, come on. What's the statistical odds of that happening to a person? That's from hell. And they didn't recognize it. We're telling, dude, that's from hell. That's what's happening in your life. So the devil tries to hide. He wants you to think it's you. He wants you to think it's luck, just life, and whatever. Very interesting. In the conference in July, you know, on Monday night, I gave, when I was giving words, and one of the words I gave was that there's a pastor that you've been having trouble, and it started when somebody left dead animals in front of your church. So 2 very fascinating things. One person who got powerfully healed was Pastor David Maldonado. He got COVID very bad, and from the time that he got COVID, from then on, he had to live on oxygen. Couldn't breathe, couldn't function, struggling. And so we prayed that night. He actually got healed, but his wife reminded him, David, right at the time when you got COVID, somebody left a box in front of the church. Inside was a goat's head and feathers. Right? So he gets, throw this crap away. And his wife said, that's when you started getting sick. Ever since then. In South Africa, one of our converts, Sean Stellenberg, he had sent me an email. So I asked him for the details. He sent me yesterday and told me. He said that he came out from church and somebody had left a dead bird on the front seat of his car. And then he detailed in the church, this now worked out in the church, a bunch of people in the church that had good jobs, they all lost their jobs. Numbers of people, they got hijacked, they got robbed, just one bad thing after another. It's affecting the church and fruitfulness and all that. And so when he heard that word, prayed against it, recognized this is from hell, and he said now numbers of his guys have gotten good jobs and promotions and that turned around. Okay, so you got to recognize, you can never be free if you don't recognize it's from hell. Then let's look at the process of victory. You have to understand the enemy's power is no match for God. Verse 12.
Each man cast down his staff, and they became serpents. But Aaron's staff swallowed up their staffs.
But Aaron's staff swallowed theirs up. That's powerful. God didn't go, oh my God, I thought you were all going to freak out. No, the enemy tries to fight, like, no problem. So that would have been pretty cool to watch, wouldn't it? I don't know if he burped afterwards, but... because it's no match. Numbers 23:20.
Look, I've received a blessing, and so I will bless. I won't withdraw it.
Yeah, I don't like that translation. I've received commandment to bless. He, that's God. God has blessed, and I cannot reverse it. I was doing a little study on Freemasonry, and part of Freemasonry is the idea in witchcraft is the idea that God and the devil and different ones, they're equal gods. They're all on the same level. That is how they view it. Absolutely not. The devil is no match for God. That's why I don't live in fear. Right? What if the Satanists right now are sacrificing cats? Good, I don't like cats anyway. I'm not sweating what people are doing because the devil is no match for God. Then of course the second thing is, if you recognize it, if you know the devil's no match, you have to resist the powers of hell. You have to have faith that God is more powerful. You have to say, I don't have to live this way. If you're assaulted personally, if your ministry, if your church is assaulted, you don't have to live that way. That's why I teach all my men a very powerful word, and that word is unacceptable. The devil does attack. Yes, he does. He tries. But that's unacceptable. You don't have to live that way. You don't have to put up with it. And then you have to take actions to activate the power of God against the powers of hell. God gave Moses this staff. You remember, this is a symbol of authority. Authority is the right to use someone else's power. You say, I'm weak, I haven't been saved long, doesn't matter. You're not fighting in your power, you're using God's power. And so he says, this stick is going to help you overcome the powers of hell. You know this by Numbers chapter 17. There's a battle going on. He says, lift it up. It's a picture of prayer. He is holding up this symbol of authority, and that affected the battle. As long as he's holding it up and praying, God's people are winning. When his arms come down, he stops praying, the enemy starts winning. That's a lesson you have to learn. So what you have to do is, there has to be targeted prayer. You can be just in regular prayer and still be attacked. So then you got to target it. No, that's from hell. I'm not putting up with that. Personally, in your own life, in the church, against words that are spoken. Sometimes people speak words. You got to pray against that. I am not going to put up with that. Acts 16:18.
And this she did for many days, but Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out at that very hour.
Okay, here is this demon-possessed girl who is affecting their ability to outreach, and he was, what did your version say? He was greatly annoyed, is that what it said?
That's what it said.
Greatly annoyed, I like that. Sometimes you've got to be greatly annoyed. I preached a sermon one time called, Pastor Greg is ticked off and you should be too. Isaiah 54:17.
No weapon that is fashioned against you shall succeed, and you shall refute every tongue that rises against you in judgment. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their vindication from me, declares the Lord.
Okay, refute. So no weapon formed against you, fashioned, created just for you, it doesn't have to prosper. You don't have to let the devil win, and then every tongue, this is words, whether this is soulish prayers, words of witchcraft, personal words, whatever it might be. New King James says, you shall condemn. That's going to die. I'm not going to allow that. And he says, that is our heritage. And so when we do that, that is a profound lesson that you're going to need it again and again and again. It's not every day, but there are seasons of assault. You've got to push back, but God says there will be supernatural contests and you can win. Okay, let's open for questions then. Dwayne?
Was this John Mark's problem that he didn't recognize? I know that he went with them on the missionary journey.
Yeah.
They ran into the one that David just read, and then he's gone. Was this because the supernatural battle caused him to want to quit?
Yeah, it could have been. I don't know. Obviously, the Bible doesn't give us enough information. You could make that argument. It would be okay. No one else can refute it because there's not enough information. But yeah, this spins people out. I get guys that just the supernatural assault, they just can't deal with it, and so they turn their back.
So you know, in Job, he's like, God, the devil's asking God to curse Job.
Yeah.
Does the devil have to get God's permission to come against us?
If you're talking about literally, like every time, you know, it's Tuesday, I want to bother them today, we're filing that request. I don't think that literally every time. I don't think that's the point of the story. The point of the story is God's people are a protected people. That is what it is. And so the point is not the devil seeks permission every time he wants to attack your life. You need to understand you are protected. That's why I teach my men unacceptable. If the devil's attacking, he doesn't have the right to do that because I belong to God. Right? That, I think that's more the point of the lesson. Yeah. You get into that's a sovereignty issue and the sovereign permissible will of God, and that's a deeper issue, but I think that's actually a sidetrack. Phil?
Do supernatural victories have to be, I know when you threw the snake down, that was pretty dramatic. Like in real life, does it have to be something that was like, wow, yeah, I fasted for 7 days and it stopped? Like, is it always like that, or is it sometimes more subtle?
Well, you know, it certainly can be subtle, sure. I mean, there's no... The Bible deliberately doesn't give us only one way to overcome, because then you would say, anybody else, if you don't do it exactly like that, you're a heretic, you need to die, right? So he knows human nature. He puts in different ones. So most demonic assaults will not go away unless you fight. I will say that. So whether that is I fasted for 7 days, that's just one version. Any form of resistance is a form of fighting. So I have seen it. It just seems like the attack tapers off and we exert dominion. And then I've seen dramatic breakthroughs.
Like kind of like if you pray regularly, but then something that you don't like, like, I want to start praying about that. You just kind of casually bring that into your prayer every day, and then it goes away. Like, that would...
Well, okay, but let's differentiate. You can bring any problem, mountain, right? You can say to the mountain, be removed. What's your biggest problem? So there are things that are just irritating, or there's things like, you have 17 kids, and you drive an MG Mini. This is just not going to... God, I need a miracle. You got to help me. Right? That's a natural problem you can pray and bring. This is talking about an assault. That's different. An assault, you're going to have to take action to break that assault. So you got to recognize it. You understand the difference?
Yeah.
You're talking about a need. I don't like this. I need it. I need better hours. I need, on my job, more money. You know, different issues. But I'm talking about an assault. That's the lesson here, Matt.
In this verse, we see that God's power was greater than the assault of, of the adversary. But it was automatic. We have the snake simply immediately on its own, seemingly, ate the other snakes. Now, can we expect that on our own when we're simply doing the will of God and going and doing what God said?
Well, yes and no. Yes, on the one hand, you know from my story that the guy, I didn't know that the witch doctor was a witch doctor for over a year. And so he was actually coming to revival services asking me the question, how did it feel tonight? And telling me the number of Satanists and witch doctors that were there each night. I had no clue. God was helping me supernaturally, yes. But then at other times, I had to fight. And I had to recognize that and fight. So I think there are seasons. I think only when we get to heaven will we learn all of the assaults of hell that never worked against us. And you never even knew it. That'll be true. So that's part. In this case, so it was sort of automatic, but Moses still had to throw down the staff, right? So it wasn't automatic. If Moses didn't throw down the staff, he wouldn't have won. So it's a both. It is both. Yeah.
David? How do you account for human decision making in this whole thing? Because obviously there's demonic influence on people, but at the end of the day, if somebody doesn't want to be delivered or changed or set free, how do you
account? No, absolutely. You can't. You got to participate in your own rescue. That is why I ask people when they come for counseling. I'm asking, do you have a relationship with God? Do you read your Bible? You pray? Because if they come back again and again with the same problem, but you're not reading your Bible and praying, I'm wasting my time. I'm not going to do that. Marriage counseling for deliverance, I give them a book to read. I pray for them. Did you read the book next time you come back? No. I can't help you. I'm wasting my time. That's true. But then we're talking about people make demons do influence human decisions. It doesn't take the place of human decisions.
Right.
It's not people are not robots and then I can't do anything. The demons got me. That's a lie. But I see people, they are demonized or they're under influence. Rebellion is the easiest one to see.
Yeah.
I see people that when someone has filled their ear with words of rebellion, I can see it on them.
Mm-hmm.
And I went through two horrible church splits. I teach guys, if you are battling rebellion in the church, pray for people. I would see people coming in like zombies. They're affected. Someone has called them, dumped on them. And I would make up excuses. Something I preach on, you know, you're struggling. You had a bad day. You're afraid of cats. I don't care what it is. Come to the front. I'm gonna lay hands on you. When I laid hands on them, I would see it. Their eyes would come clear. Now, that was not permanent. All that did was give them clarity so they could make decisions.
Okay.
That's the point.
Okay.
And so it's both. At the end of the day, there are people like, no, he's my bro, he's my friend forever. He's from hell, he's hurting you. You get around him, you do bad.
Yeah.
No, but then those people go down, I can't help them. Mm-hmm. But you can literally see it lift. I see that in converts. There's a supernatural battle sometimes. Crucial moments, people are hanging on the edge, and your prayers can bring them, give them room so that they can make a good decision. Okay. So they work hand in hand. It's not either or.
So you can quiet the devil long enough for them to
exactly. I can't make people do right. The point of prayer is not, you know, if you don't want to do the will of God, I can't make you. I can't, I got your arm spiritually behind your back. No. But there is a spiritual realm that causes people to see things incorrectly. So you pray, you lift that. You lift the cloud. Yeah.
So do you have to, in times of like demonic assault, do you have to identify, this is the exact avenue the enemy is using? Or have you in your experience ever just prayed like, God, there's something going on?
No, I have had times where it was... I absolutely could identify it, and then I've had times I had no clue. I don't know where this is coming from, but let it be judged. So that when I'm experiencing that, and I don't know where it's from or whatever, that Isaiah 54:17 is a scripture that I pray over. Every tongue that rises against you, you shall condemn. So I'm praying, God, you judge it. That's in other words. God, the work of witchcraft or the words that are being exercised against your work, I condemn it, judge it. And sometimes I'll pray, God, there are people that are exercising witchcraft. I will pray, God, judge them and then let them know why they're being judged. And so I've seen crazy things. In Australia, I had the most radical ever. This Fijian Indian couple came in and all kinds of sickness. She could barely even stand. And then I can't remember. They felt that there were neighbors that were involved in witchcraft. And it's so many chapters ago. I can't remember how we knew this, but the neighbors were heavily involved in witchcraft. They would dig holes and bury things in their yard. And so Pastor Richard just prayed. He said, God, let that be judged. The next day, the next door neighbor came and said, what did you do? My wife hung herself last night. So, and he knew that somehow it had to do with their prayers. Okay, he wasn't a church. He didn't know what they were doing. There was no live stream in those days. So I'm telling you, that's the point. Like, the problem is in America, they try to sanitize everything as white witchcraft. It's bewitched. I'm going to twinkle my nose. Mm-hmm. But you're talking people trying to kill you, you know? And anybody who's been on the res or I was in Africa, this is no joking matter. There are people, they want to hurt you. They want to hurt your family. So So David Maldonado can't function. He's, you know, this is affecting his life like he's going to die. That's from hell. So therefore, I got no problem. It's not my job. I don't pray. It's not like, you know, Nathan said something, he hurt my feelings. God, judge him, let him die. You know, it's not my job to put judgment on people. My job is, God, they're coming against your children. You be the judge. But I'm rejecting it. I condemn it. What you do with it, that's totally your business. Okay?
So, real quick, if you have the confidence to do that, how do you teach your wife these kind of lessons that, you know the devil doesn't have a, no, the, you know, demonic assaults aren't going to last forever? Like, do you just speak hope to her, or?
Well, the truth will set you free. You've got to be able to show from the Bible. What is it? This is from hell, and this is what God says. The devil doesn't have the right. That's why you have to form your own convictions, and then part of that is you bring your wife along with that. That you speak and teach and tell and pray over God's word. God's word is the answer. So that's why I have a whole list of scriptures I pray over, all of which, it wasn't just an idle Tuesday I had nothing to do. They were battles. I'm fighting. This is from hell. What's going on? I go to God's word. What does God's word say? And how do we get free in that? So you bring your wife along in that. So I've done that through the years of my wife. And then on days when I wasn't seeing clearly, you know, my wife is a fighter. She then helps me in that. Sorry?
Is there a reason why it happens more over there than over here?
Yeah, that's just a worldview issue. It happens here, but people, they reject, they don't even have a file for. Westerners don't have a file in their filing cabinet for supernatural.
Okay.
So they are experiencing things in life. They are experiencing calamity, sickness, oppression, lack of sleep, all that. But they just don't ever think that that can be demonic.
And you said like on the red stuff, so I grew up on the red, yep. So you could definitely feel it.
Absolutely.
More than you can.
So this is what we call, I just use a word, and that is worldview. Okay, so a white Westerner has what's called a secular worldview. In other words, it's non-spiritual. What, there has to be a scientific explanation. There has to be a rational explanation for this. What is it? It has to be germs, DNA. It has to be luck, mathematical odds. So that's their worldview. So that when they're interpreting life, like my friend, dude, you had 2 car accidents, 12 electronic devices blew up within 2 weeks. How many does it have to happen before you?
Yeah.
So that he just doesn't have a supernatural worldview. In third world or in America on the res or different things is they have a supernatural worldview. They say we live in a physical world, but there are spiritual powers that affect it. So it's a part of how they're interpreting life.
Yeah.
Bad things are happening. This must be spiritual. Like so they seek a spiritual answer. Yeah.
Like at 3 o'clock in the morning, like I remember the dogs would all be barking on the res. It would be weird. It would happen every night.
Yeah.
Like if someone was running through the alley. Like
that. Yeah. Yeah. So you're, I'm telling you the things that I have seen and experienced. No. But it's not meant to be scared because we have power. That's what you learned when the witch doctor came and he was like, I'm taking his estimation. He was like number 2 or 3 most powerful in the whole area when he came and said, we tried. All these witch doctors and Satanists were trying to curse you and we couldn't. We couldn't get into your house. That gave me a real confidence. So God's going to help you. But at any rate, that's it's the file. You got to understand what an education I got. When I came to South Africa, these people used to talk, and so they started talking about tokolosh. So I heard this term, tokolosh. And I thought, what is a tokolosh? And they say, oh, it's this little man that you see, and he runs around your house. So to me, like, I was raised in Prescott, and I was raised there. When we would go camping, we would tell stories. I can't remember if it was here or in Australia. We called them the drop bears. You tell little kids, watch out for the drop bears. It's made up, right? Is that these animals are going to drop on you from the... So these people are talking about the Tokolosh. I'm like, come on. That's like the drop bears, man. So then these people, I said, okay, don't tell me about a story of your cousin who heard that his mother and a guy living in another city. How many of you have seen a Tokolosh, a little spirit man in your house? Like more than 3/4 of them. And I'm like, come on, with your own eye, absolutely, I have seen it. Right? On the res, a skinwalker.
Yeah.
Right? So those are, we live in a supernatural world. How can a person be half man, half goat? How can that work? So you're talking something that is demonic. It is a supernatural realm. But God gave the victory. That's the point. I don't live in fear. Absolutely not. Because God will always give us the victory.
When you're trying to help somebody, you can tell if there's something like a supernatural deception. They're confused. They're not thinking clearly. But they do want to do right. What do you pray for them?
Well, in the first place, I pray... I just pray for light. Deception is darkness, right? So there's something blinding. So I have people, even in conflicts, that I'm having a conversation, it's not going well, and my ultimate at the end is like, can I pray for you? And you know, Pastor Jesse's seen, he's been in numbers of these conversations. Let me pray for you that God will help you. So, we, you know, you're disagreeing. We can disagree, but I think that there's something here. But you want to do right? Let me pray for you. So I pray God give them light, and I come against deception in that and show them. And sometimes that's what happens. I've seen God supernaturally help people. Let's say you lift that temporarily. They got to make the decision. If they're doing something and brought that on them, my prayer will be insufficient over time. But I'm just giving space so God can speak to them. Yeah. And then, of course, also a source. Sometimes you won't get free unless you find the source in time. Right? So that's a different issue.
So just curious, do you believe God only allows you to go through things you can handle? As
yes.
As far as like demonic assault?
There is no temptation taking you but such as is common to man. Mm-hmm. But will with the temptation make a way that you can... bear it, right? You can get out of it.
Yeah, so that's like with sin, right? With the temptation to do something.
But the word temptation is the same word as trial, right? It's not just luring to sin. It's actually trials as well. Nothing happened. That then, Daniel's question about the whole thing of Job and that. Nothing happens outside the permissible will of God. Okay, so being a Christian doesn't mean that God prevents and you will never have a problem. But you can be guaranteed if you have it, God will help you with it, period. Nothing is too much.
My personality, I tend to worry a lot. And so I'll go through hell and we'll fast and take dominion and we'll experience a lot of blessing. And so right now I feel like we went through hell and I'm in a season of blessing. But I find myself a lot in prayer being genuinely just like, I'm in a season of blessing, but worried about tomorrow. What if tomorrow I get hit with another trial or temptation that I've got to come against and fast for? And I know that I can overcome that with God's help. I know that God can help me. But I find myself on my toes a lot worrying about that. How do you find the balance of knowing that that might come and reading your Bible and praying in preparation
you got to form a view of God that's that's incorrect view of God. You know, number one, worry is pointless, right? Like I had a years ago in Melbourne, Harry Hills, who was greatly used in a word of knowledge. He called a lady out. He said, "You worry a lot, don't you?" Yeah. Yep. He said, "I'm telling you from God, if you don't stop worrying, you're going to die." Everybody's dreaming. And he said, "And if you stop worrying, you're going to die anyway, so why worry?" So it actually is an incorrect view of God. What you need to do to overcome worry is it's based on God's word, who God is, God's protection and care. So I can't give my brain to this. It's pointless. Yep. You need to write that one down, right, Chris? You're going to take that one for your own.
I
have that one.
Phil.
What's your number one resource for trying to find, as you said, the Bible and seeing what God did in there is the best source for, you know, maybe your own victory or breakthrough? How do you find certain issues in the Bible? Like, what do you go to? What's your go-to resource for searching?
Well, that's called a concordance. Concordance is you've got to find words or phrases. Mm-hmm. You know, these days you can find anything on the internet as well. Mm-hmm. You know, you're finding scriptures about. So that is something that in my personal reading, when I come across a scripture, I'm adding it to a list in a category. Mm-hmm. Right? I have things I'm praying for in fruitfulness, in healing, spiritual warfare, dominion, guidance, different things. So as I read, I put it in there. If I'm facing a problem, finances, then I go and search money, answers to prayer. What did God promise? You have to do that for yourself. That's why I have people, can I have your list? Like, no, it won't do you any good. Mm-hmm. That's secondhand. You're borrowing my axe. Got to have your own.
Yeah.
Very good.
How do you pray when you're getting assaulted? Can you pray to, like, devil, will get your hands off my situation, or is it just like, God, help me?
No. I pray specifically against, the Bible says, whatever you bind. I'm obviously not binding God, right? So yeah, no, I get aggressive in prayer. I'm coming against this. Devil, you are not going to win. I reject every curse. You know, I break that power. I send it back. This is not going to affect me. Yeah. So I don't spend all my time doing that. Prayer is very balanced, right? That's why the Lord's Prayer is a pattern, isn't it? You praise God, you thank God for his goodness, you ask God for provision, you say, I want the will of God to be done in my life, leave me not in temptation, there's protection, there's... So I don't spend all my time binding, but that is a part of it. Yes, I will lean in when I'm under assault. Yep, most definitely. You got to do that. So just out of curiosity, out of this, how many of you right now you would recognize in your own life, you say, I recognize I'm under assault right now? And let's stand up. Let's agree in prayer. Right now, we're gonna pray. We're going to agree. I'm going to lead you in a prayer, and then we're going to pray together. We're going to believe God for victory. I want you to say this out loud. Say, Father God.
Father God.
I am your child.
I am your child.
It is your will.
It is your will.
That I have dominion.
That I have dominion.
And I recognize.
I recognize.
I am assaulted.
I am assaulted.
By hell.
By hell.
This is not your will.
This is not your will.
And I reject it.
And I reject it.
Your word says.
Your word says.
No weapon.
No weapon.
Formed against.
Will prosper.
And every tongue, that rises against me,
in judgment,
I will condemn.
And I do condemn.
Every work of witchcraft. Every soulish prayer.
Every word that is spoken.
That is from hell.
And every strategy.
Of the enemy.
I reject it.
I break that power
off of my life,
my mind,
my family,
my home,
my finances,
my fruitfulness,
and my ministry.
I will have victory
by the blood of Jesus.
And I thank you for it. Amen. Let's pray together. For the victory. Thank God. God is good, isn't he? Good thing you didn't stay in bed this morning. You'd have missed out. All right, let's believe God. He's going to help us. I'll give you these lessons as you go.